Hi, and welcome back to Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. I'm Becky.
I'm Tash.
And I'm Emma. Did everybody forget what they were supposed to be saying?
I don't think I listened to what order we were saying it in.
I wonder why there was a big pause that Emma will probably edit out.
So I was waiting for Emma to say she was Emma before she said I said I was Tash, but thought, oh shit, she's not saying it, I'll say it.
Anyway, hello.
Hi, guys. We do know who we are.
Buenos dias.
Oh, Spanish.
Spanish.
Boom. Oh, God, when I was editing that blooper, you know when I said, ¿Dónde está la carne? In the blooper, which was, where is the meat? But I did that blooper before I knew what your story was going to be about. So people, please don't think that I was asking in Spanish, where is the meat, after knowing
oh shit,
what,
yes.
Yeah, Becky's story was about, because I didn't, it was before.
For some reason I thought you said, where is my book, so I didn't make the connection.
Well, and carnet is a book in French, isn't it?
But yeah, that's probably why.
It is
meat.
It is meat.
I said that, we said that literally at the beginning when Becky was like, oh, it's in Spain. And I was like, oh, I can speak Spanish. I know I'd say, where's the meat? I had no idea she was about to talk about what she spoke about. So I just want to make that perfectly clear. Because, yeah, that was a bad thing to say.
As it turns out,
it wasn't the one. Okay, Becky just brought up a very good point. Let us know, can you tell our voices apart? Because sometimes when you listen to podcasts, you can't tell people's voices apart, right?
Especially until they get decent microphones, and we're not rich yet. So I'm sorry. This is how it's going to stay.
Hang on. I feel like our audio is pretty good.
Yeah, so do I.
I think our audio is really good. We have a top-notch editor.
Oh, yes. She is. The bomb.
I imagine
our audio would be creme de la creme if we had like 500 quid microphones each, which isn't,
yeah, it fucking wants to be 500 quid, Jesus.
But yeah, we're on about, yeah, 10% of that.
yeah pretty much. But yeah, let us know, can you tell the difference between me, Becky, and Tash?
Yeah, I'm Becky. I'm talking now. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Oh, yeah, I'm the one that snorts. So if you hear a snort, that's me.
And you did say bloop, bloop, bloop quite a lot.
Yeah, I do make that a little bit weird.
You make funny little noises, don't you?
Yeah.
I think I'm scared of silence.
Yeah, probably. Oh. Anyway, what's going on?
When I was editing, I picked up on this, and I had a message come through this evening that confirmed exactly what I thought. Tash, you know when you were on about, oh, bullfighting, oh, I watched a video and it was really sexy and
yes.
Stuff? When we were having that conversation, I didn't really hear every detail of what you were saying.
Yeah.
But when I listened back, you're talking about cowboys, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess so. Yes, I absolutely am. Yes.
Yeah. Bullfighting's not that, babe.
No, I know.
Bullfighting's what are they called, a matador?
Yeah, it is. And do you know what? As soon as you said you're talking about cowboys, I realised, I'm not talking about the guys in those weird, like, leggings.
Yeah,
and
with the shiny jackets
shirts.
And the little red flags.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking
about. And the stabby, stabby things, yeah.
That, you know, stab bulls and stuff.
No, that's absolutely not what I'm talking about. I'm literally talking about cowboys that sort of like...
slow motion, jump about on a cow.
I still don't think it's great what they're doing, but they're sort of like, yeah, wrestling.
You were thinking of a rodeo.
She's thinking, yes, about a rodeo. So Tash, yeah, got a rodeo and bullfighting confused.
So, yeah, Tash was thinking of man in jeans, slow motion... on a cow, waving his hat around.
Because I was so, yeah, confused when she was on about the hat, because I was like, matadors wear a hat, but it's not that sexy.
I absolutely do not condone bullfighting. That's horrible, isn't it? Like, they're horrible to the bulls, aren't they?
Well, they kill them.
Yeah, that's not a bit of me.
No.
Sexy cowboy. Oh. Yes. Matador. No.
It was Cindy that messaged me and she was like, look, I'm just going to stick up for Tash here because I think she was talking about rodeo. And even though, you know, I'm not really into cowboys, I can see where she's coming from. And she's not talking about bullfighting because bullfighting is gross. And I'm like, I picked up on it when I was editing. I was like, she ain't talking about matadors. She's talking about cowboys.
Yeah.
But then Cindy goes, I think you should apologize to her. And I was like, Cindy, I'm not apologizing for the fact that Tash got cowboys and bullfighting mixed up.
Yeah. Why not? Why aren't you apologising for that?
Because it's your fault.
Yeah, you did go in on me, though. You did go in on me.
Because it's disgusting, because we're talking joking. About bullfighting. And you're like, fine. Oh, yeah, but come on, it's a bit sexy. And we're like,
Maybe I should apologise. I am sorry for confusing two arguably not great, I use the term very loosely, sports. I can confirm that I would find cowboys sexy even if they weren't riding a cowboy.
You found cowboys sexy even if they weren't riding a cowboy? Are we talking about Brokeback Mountain?
Just can't speak. I've got too many visions of cowboys in my head right now.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with Brokeback Mountain. You know, more power to those gay cowboys. But that's not what Tash was talking about, though, was it, Tash?
No, it's not what I was talking about. What I'm talking about is sexy men, basically, much like a lumberjack, just with a hat.
Yeah.
I think what we're taking from this is I like a checked shirt.
Yes.
And you don't know the difference between a cowboy and a bullfighter.
I don't know the difference between many things. So.
Anyway, God, nothing but apologies today.
Yeah,
nothing
sorry, guys. Apologize.
Yeah, we suck.
And also, sorry for saying sorry so much, because actually you should not say sorry all the time.
No, it is annoying when somebody's like, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. Oh, I've got to say sorry again.
Oh, we have a little correction. I like that we have a little correction corner. I did see this message. Mrs. Emma purposely forgetting people. She did it on purpose.
I did not.
It was intentional. Completely intentional. No.
Poor John. Poor John got Barbie Girl right and I forgot to give him a shout out. But we did say we'd give him a t-shirt when and if we ever get t-shirts, so.
We did.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I'm sorry, John. Very well done for getting Barbie Girl.
Yeah, good man.
John and I have quite in-depth conversations sometimes, so it gets lost. And, you know, I've got the memory of a goldfish, so I forget.
Yeah.
Other people are just sending me, when I look at messages, they're just sending me the responses to the song. So that's easy peasy, lemon squeezy. She got it right, she got it right. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So actually, what I'm taking from this is it's actually John's fault for being too engaging.
No. No, that's not what I'm saying. But yeah, I forgot John.
So and also, we're not perfect. We forget things.
Oh, God, no, we are not perfect.
Yeah.
Are we, Tash?
Listen, talk for yourselves. Don't drag me into that.
Okay, for the horror song from last week that I did, I've only got two answers. Have you girls got any answers?
No answers.
Oh, did I stump people?
I don't think I even know what it is.
No, I remember what it is.
It's Baby Shark.
Oh, yeah, maybe I did get an answer, but I can't remember who.
Baby shark, do 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 do.
Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark. That amazing song.
Yeah, good luck getting that out of your head. It's taken me about 7 years to get it out, and I've just put it back in like a dickhead. It never goes away. Anyway, Ruth and Nicole, well done.
Well,
bravo.
Oh, Megan also got it right.
Oh, and Megan. Go, Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Fantavia did not get it right, but I think she will kick herself when she hears what it is because She thought it was Shark in the Water by V.V. Brown, which I don't know what it is.
It's close. But
yeah, I'd say you're not wrong.
I've never heard of that song, so.
No, same. No, that's it for me.
I've got an email to read out, but I haven't got a song suggestion for last week.
Oh, well, we don't want to hear the email then.
Oh.
Joking. Go on, read out the email.
Yeah.
Cool, we can tell Emma's better, can't we?
Yeah. It misses. Is it Fantabidoza from last week? I'm Emma. You did so well to get through your story, though, with a poorly throat, because I've had a few poorly throats when recording, and by the end you're like, sandpaper, yeah. Like the mummy when he wakes up, like that.
Yeah, just moths flying out, yeah.
Okay, right, so I'll read this listener email. So it starts off with, you can call me Mac.
Hey, Mac.
Yo, Mac.
Hi, Mac. I want to say that I'm a big fan of the podcast. It really helps me get through my long shifts at work. You guys are so funny, and I have to stop myself from laughing so I don't look crazy laughing out loud by myself.
I say embrace it.
Look I crazy. Say laugh. Yeah. Make people think you're crazy. It's fun.
Yeah. And also, if you want to avoid people, that's a good way for people to not come up and talk to you. Just act a little crazy. Oh, I'm staying away. I'm going to cross the road. Give this person a wide berth.
Yep.
Right. So I've been binging your podcast and I'm sad that I'm starting to catch up to your newer episodes, but at least I'll be able to participate in the games and stuff.
Yay!
Okay. So I don't know if you'll remember, but for the escape room that Tash wants, there's an assault escape room in Las Vegas.
She wants to feel like she's going to be murdered, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
And there's also a Blair Witch one too. The actors are good at freaking you out from the start. So the people that worked there were really nice. So they got to go through the whole escape thing, even though we were really bad and couldn't solve some of the puzzles before we, in quotes, died. For Tasha's weird guy that said she did movie food but wasn't a cuppa cook or something. I don't remember that.
What did I say?
There's a weird guy that he said that he did movie food, but he wasn't a cook.
Oh my God, on Tinder, on the Tinder first date thing. Not Tinder first date. What was it?
Oh, the speed dating.
Speed dating. Yes.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'm with you, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. We're with you, Mac. Right, go on.
He says that he thinks he's seen something like that on TikTok. People pay to see a movie and they get served the food and drinks that are in the movie as they come on screen.
That's weird.
Okay.
I kind of, depending on the movie though, that could be bloody awesome. You pay to see a movie and like whenever they eat anything in the movie, you get served that.
Yeah, okay.
That sounds amazing. I really want to go.
You feel like you're part of the movie then, don't you?
Also, food. I like
also
that.
Also food.
I mean, food, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Mac, for your email. It made me smile. And I'm glad that we are with you on your long shifts.
I think we're with a lot of people. I think people do listen to podcasts while they're doing their long shifts.
I listen to podcasts when I'm at work in the morning cleaning before opening. I have a podcast on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
I sometimes listen to podcasts like just in one ear when I know that I'm going to be on admin for at least a couple of, an hour or two. But you know that it's stuff that you know, it can just kind of be in the background. I mean, you're concentrating on your work, but you can also listen. I mean, it can't be a podcast that's complicated. It has to just be like, murder stories or lighthearted or something.
Murder stories, bit of lighthearted listening.
Yeah, murder, just lighthearted murder. Yeah. It can't be too funny though, because I'll just be like, just like laughing all the time.
I listen to podcasts before going to sleep, and I fall asleep to podcasts, and my husband has to remove my headphones.
Aww.
While I'm fast asleep. Yeah, bless him. He does it every night, takes away my iPad and takes out my headphones. Egg.
Oh, I can just imagine little Emma all snugged and with her cuddling her little iPad.
Yeah.
With her little bunny-eared headphones, which is what I imagined you to wear.
Oh, I wish I did. No, they're just the plain old white ones that you stick in your ear holes. Anyway, Tash, do you have a very short Tinder with Tash?
Very short Tinder with Dash is available now after this jingle.
Sit down, you boys and girls and everyone in between.
Story time.
Dash has stories for you, both funny and obscene.
Ooh.
Did she swipe right, swipe left, or find out he had a rash?
Ew.
We're about to find out, cause it's Tinder with Tash.
Right.
Tinder with Tash. Update on the broadband guy.
Broadband man.
We're still talking, which is like a miracle for me.
Oh.
Just a question. Wasn't that a thing on, was it BT Internet, where there was a guy and he was that actor, that ginger actor, and he came round to people's house to install the broadband. They kind of fell in love and they had kids and stuff. Was that broadband?
Oh, I know. The guy.
Do you remember?
Yeah, the guy who was in Love Actually.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's him.
It's him.
You're living that advert.
I mean, I'm here for that. I don't know that I'm living that yet, but maybe one day, yeah.
Is it flirty texting?
Yeah, a little bit.
Flirty dirty.
Not dirty, because I'm a lady, but definitely a bit flirty.
Cool.
I'm being really coy, aren't I?
Yeah. It's like, give us more, man.
There's not really much more to say. I haven't met up with him yet. I know this is such a cliche, but I'm really busy with work this week. So I haven't really got time to go on a date or anything. So I'll have to wait a couple of weeks. But hopefully we will be able to grab a drink soon.
Ah, the saga of broadband man.
No, how mad's that? Who would have thought? Do you know, the amount of times I've said, like, I just can't be bothered to date. I wish someone would just knock on my door.
And boom, there he was.
Yeah, so manifest it, guys. Manifest it.
Yeah, the universe was listening.
They were. So somewhat boring, but potentially, if you're invested in my love life, not boring.
Yeah, well, we're down. We're invested.
There is a community of people who are, like, rooting for you.
Yeah, and also, I would like to say, like, thus far, there haven't been, like, any red flags.
Great. Bex?
What?
I think you're up.
All right. Yes. Yeah, well, yeah, because I went second last week and...
Oh, you always sound so surprised. It's really adorable. You're like, oh, yeah.
I'm just kind of sat here waiting for my time. Waiting for you to call me up to the front.
It's your time to shine, baby.
Shineth I willeth.
Continueth.
Okayeth.
I don't know. I never know how we do this, so I can't interject.
Yeah, Tash is just down for the ride. Look, you're here, Emma, editing and sorting us out and doing songs, because me and Tash, if we were just had to do this by ourselves, we'd just wait for each other to initiate it. Yeah, so we'd just be sat in silence, be like, what are we doing?
I'm like the adult, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
Which is terrifying because I'm really not.
But yeah, but you are a little, you are just like a year older than us. So that means that you've had a little.
A year?
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, I am. Just a year.
You've had that little bit more experience than us.
Yeah.
At being an adult.
Oh, being an adult, yeah. Sucks.
Yeah. Right, so... my story this week is about a dude, a guy.
Oh, a dude.
A dude. This is about a guy called Roch Thériault. So, Thériault in English.
Is he French?
He's French-Canadian.
French-Canadian, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know if I've done a Canadian murder. Possibly once.
No, it wasn't a murder. It was that horrendous rape story.
Yes. Yeah, it was the Amethyst episode, wasn't it? It was that one. So that got released in the end, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was episode 8, if I remember correctly. Episode
that
8, season
on,
1.
Yes.
Horrendous audio, people, but really good stories. So,
yeah.
But really funny. So go and listen to that if you want to hear about Amethyst Lips and something else.
Some, oh, God knows what we were talking about in that episode.
Tash was just generally outraged at men and lip balm, just generally.
He had a little, she had a little rant, didn't she? And I went on a rant about how they put it on.
Can you imagine a guy stood in front of the school in February in his shorts putting some lip balm on?
Tasha'd just be raging. She'd run him over when he's with her car.
I'd actually go up to him.
Slap him around the face.
I'm not over that ick. I still think it's gross.
Well, it yeah, I don't know.
Right, so Rock was born into a French-Canadian family on the 16th of May, 1947, in Quebec.
Oh, I'm liking this. I can relax a bit now. It was ages ago.
Yeah, well, it was ages ago that he was born. But yeah, it was quite a while ago. Not a new one. So Rock Thériault was raised in the Thetford Mines. Despite being recognised as a highly intelligent child, he dropped out of school in the 7th grade and took it upon himself to study the Old Testament of the Bible.
Oh dear.
Rock was very religious and believed that one day we will all be judged on the conflict between good and evil. So, you know.
I think I'm being judged daily, to be honest.
Yeah, I judge myself a lot.
Yeah, same.
I judge you both too, so it's good.
Thanks. Aww. As the oldest adult here, you are part of your swing. Job role, to be honest.
Meow.
So, Rock held a strong belief that the end of the world was nigh and would be brought on by the war between good and evil. Mm-hmm. This belief would have significant impact on his life later on. He would later convert from Catholicism to the Seventh-day Adventist Church because he liked that church because of their holistic practices. So the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a Protestant
Oh, I've heard of these.
Yeah, I think they're still going. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is a Protestant Christian denomination that was founded in the United States in the mid-19th century. The church emphasizes the importance of keeping the Sabbath day holy, which is observed from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Adventists also believe in the imminent second coming of Christ and to promote a holistic approach to health, which includes a vegetarian diet, exercise, abstinence from tobacco, alcohol, and other harmful substances. The church has a global presence and is known for its educational and humanitarian work.
I mean, so far, it sounds pretty harmless, I'm going to say.
Yeah, they are. They are. They're just all healthy.
Yeah.
No smoke.
Not wrong with that.
Nah. People would describe Rock as being an extrovert and very funny. He would have entire bars in roars of laughter. He was a real showman. Even health professionals like doctors, psychiatrists that he would meet through the church or socially described Rock as being a brilliant, kindly man of the Bible.
Okay.
So he was really getting going with this church and was like really getting to be more and more of a part of it. And, you know, part of the church was to get followers to come into the church as well. So he relocated to Ontario, where he began to attract followers by presenting himself as a self-proclaimed faith healer. Rock's magnetic personality and claims of possessing supernatural powers were particularly effective at drawing people to him. His charisma combined with his ability to heal, I put in quotes, physical and mental illness, so that it quickly built up a small group of loyal followers. He targeted round about everyone and anyone that would listen, but he had the most success with young or naive people, but also the vulnerable and abused.
So the desperate, basically.
Yeah, he did have more success with people that weren't used to getting positive attention from somebody.
Yeah.
You know, and he was part of this church, like quite getting to be quite high up in this church. So it's someone that they wanted to follow. these individuals were intentionally drawn of Rock's promise of a better life, one that was supposedly filled with spirituality and personal fulfillment. So in the mid-1970s, he embarked on a mission to form a religious movement. So using his charisma, personality, and persuasiveness, he managed to convince his little group of followers to leave their jobs and homes behind and join him. In 1977, Rock and his commune left the Seventh-day Adventist Church due to a dispute over his leadership style. He prohibited the group from remaining in contact with their families and with the church.
Red flag!
Yeah, because this was against Rock's values of freedom. I don't know how he got value of freedom from forbidding people doing something. That's kind of the opposite of freedom to me.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As we were going on, Rock's fear of the end of the world grew larger. He claimed that God had warned him that the end of the world would come in February 1979. So he would ask the commune to help him prepare for it. The year before, in 1978, in preparation, Rock moved his commune by hiking to a mountainside he called Eternal Mountain.
So we're saying commune. I feel like we're being polite. At this point, can we say cult?
This is a cult, mate.
Yeah, I think we're getting
this
there.
This is a bit culty.
It's a little bit, I think it's more of a tinge of cult. I think it's quite, it's one of the main ingredients by now, isn't it?
Well, they're following a guy who thinks it's the end of the world and he's...
That's isolating them from everybody.
Yeah, it's a cult.
So he grabbed his group of followers and made them hike up a mountain. And this mountain was a place called St. Jogue or Jogue.
You basically just said the same thing twice and you were like, St. Jogue or Jogue?
Or maybe it's Jogue.
Maybe it's Jogue.
Do you think it's Jogue?
I think it could possibly be Jogue.
Okay. I really hope it is that.
Tash, are you in agreement with Jogue?
I'm going with Jogue.
Oh, it could be that. Or it'd be Saint-Jogue. It could be that because we are in Canada.
Oh, spanner in the works.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely Jogue or Jogue. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, she said the same thing twice.
That was the joke.
Oh god. Vroom, straight over my head. Right, moving on.
St. Jogue was in the sparsely populated area of the Gaspé Peninsula. So if you kind of look at Canada, it's right at one side at the end.
Oh, at the side to the end.
At the tip of Canada.
Yeah.
That's where he's kind of taken them. A tip of yeah.
Oh, I do love a tip. Just a tip.
Just a tip. It's not cheating if it's just the tip.
She knows.
Oh, I love the explanation. To the side and up a bit at the tip.
Yeah.
Right.
Imagine Canada, right? It's at the right side.
Yeah.
And there's two lumps that come out of Canada at the side. And it's the bottom lump.
Do you know what I'm most impressed with?
What?
I'm most impressed with your confidence in my knowledge of what Canada looks like on a map.
It's above America.
You know how, like, normal people say north and east and northwest and all this? She's like, it's right and it's the bottom bump. Not the first bump.
Is that your right or my right?
Yeah, your right is also my right. I don't know how you're sat. It's at the... Hold on, never eat shredded wheat.
Never eat shredded wheat.
Is that not how you remember her to do it?
We can never be classed as a geography podcast. I think this is what we're taking from this right now.
Oh, at work, though, when people are like, oh, you're... I'll say where I'm from in England, like, roughly. And they'll be like, oh, well, I'm from this place, which apparently is not far from where I used to live. But fuck knows if I know where it is.
Yeah, but also ridiculous. You haven't lived there for, like, 20 years.
I suppose, but I still feel shame.
No, I think don't feel shamed.
I didn't really want to say, oh, is it Never Eat Shredded Wheat? Is it east from where I used to live? Never Eat Shredded Wheat? Is it on shredded or is it on wheat?
Nobody knows that anyway.
How old are you, Bex? Like 30-odd woman, never eat shredded wheat. And it's so funny because I do it too.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Never eat shredded wheat. It's the best way.
Yeah, it is the best way. Anyway, so they're in Canada on a mountain.
Yeah.
On the second lumpy bit.
Yeah,
on the
in
right.
St. Jogue, we think. Right, anyway, it's a very, very, very remote part of Canada and where the temperature ranges from plus 23, nice, comfortable, nice little spring. Well, that's their summer temperatures. But it also plunges down to like minus 18.
Is that Fahrenheit or is that Celsius?
No, this is on Celsius. So our one, I do have Fahrenheit for our people that use Fahrenheit friends.
Oh, Fahrenheit friends.
Yeah, for our Fahrenheit friends. Right, so for our Celsius coupons, it's 23 degrees. In the summer, but it also plunges down to minus 18.
That's
so
cold.
Fucking cold.
That is cold.
That's the temperature in my freezer.
Yeah, yeah, that is
so
cold.
So in for our Fahrenheit friends, that ranges from 74 to minus 0.4.
Okay.
Doesn't sound so bad in Fahrenheit.
Yeah, but Fahrenheit, when it goes into the minus, it's really cold.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of sounds like you're going to melt when it's hot, though.
Yeah, 74. Yeah, so they've taken them in a very rural area, basically where it's freezing and they're not allowed to talk to anybody. So this is where he claims they would all be saved. When they got there, Rock made the commune build their town while he relaxed and did shit all.
Probably just summoned people to come and have sex with him.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, well, cults love a bit of weird sex, don't they?
Shagging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the leader.
I think it's the only reason people make a cult is because, like, they can't get laid.
Yeah.
100% the only reason people lead a cult, isn't it?
Yeah, and the power over others, which is, I think, what he got off on, as we'll go into a bit later. Like here, look, he did fuck all, making his commune doing everything. And while they were all working, he compared them to ants working on an anthill.
I don't like this man.
No, thus giving the name of the, if you haven't already worked it out, the name of the cult, as you guys guessed earlier anyway, the cult was called Ant Hill Kids. Have you heard of this?
I have not.
Yeah.
Ant Hill Kids. No, but I have
It doesn't sound scary.
No. Well, he said...
No, it's a bit of a shit cult name.
Well, they basically had to build their little village out the side of a mountain, so it looks like little anthills. Rock's, like, goal here was to create a kind of communal living arrangement where people could freely listen to his most motivational speeches, live in unity and equality, and be free of sin. However, as time went on, it became apparent that Rock had a much more sinister intentions, and his followers would eventually become trapped in a nightmarish existence within the confines of his cult.
A cult doesn't end well, generally.
No. No, this gets worse and worse. I mean, it starts off, to be fair, going to live in a mountain on, like, this side of a mountain already sounds like a nightmare to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to walk up it, to be honest. You had me at, he made them walk up a mountain. Nope. I retract my previous statement of, I would join a cult.
Yeah, but you're like, fuck that. No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go live a life of sin, thank you. Rock was very, very controlling and manipulative, and he wanted to maintain complete control over his followers, using a combination of brainwashing, physical abuse, psychological manipulation. That's how he would control his followers. He's already isolated them from the outside world, ensuring that only his teachings were the ones that they were exposed to. And through these tactics, that's where he really created a very, very cult-like environment, which would eventually lead to a series of violent and deadly incidents within the group.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, for the whole time that they were there, he was pushing the constant, the world is ending, the world is ending. We all need to follow me and do what I'm saying so that we all get into heaven. But eventually, February 1979 comes and goes. And when the apocalypse did not occur, people started questioning Rock's wisdom. But he defended himself, saying that time on Earth and God's world were not parallel. So it's like a bit of a miscalculation. You know, I made a little bit of a mistake. All right.
Yeah, all right. Sounds legit.
So he kind of takes a turn here. To expand the community, as well as to keep members devoted, Rock married and impregnated all of the women in the group.
Piece of shit.
Yeah. Fathering overall 20 children with 9 female members of the group. By the 1980s, there were 40 members. Followers were made to wear identical tunics to represent equality and their devotion to the commune, or let's say cult, from now on.
It's so weird, isn't it? How people fall into it.
Yeah, but then it's like you can't leave because then you get shunned by everyone that you know. So in 1984, the group relocated from Quebec to a new site near Burnt River, a hamlet in central Ontario, which is now part of the city of Kawartha Lakes. Also, don't know if that's pronounced like that.
You're really setting yourself up here, mate, aren't you?
Yeah. Rock's downward spiral began with his worsening drinking problem.
That's a sin, Rock.
Yeah. Going against his own church. Mm-hmm. He became increasingly like a dictator, just like controlling every minute of the lives of his followers, dictating everything from their interactions with each other to their sexual activities. Members were even forbidden from speaking to each other without his presence.
Oh, man. He's got a tiny willy.
Yeah.
Any sexual encounters required his permission or supervision.
I'm sorry,
but when the moment takes you, what are you meant to do? Stop and be like, oh, Rock,
come and watch.
I'm feeling a bit randy. Hurry up. We know that Roger doesn't last very long.
Didn't he marry all the women?
I think it is a bit of a sherry, but yes, I think he married 9 of the women.
Okay.
There. Or he had babies with 9 of the women there.
Okay.
But people were gradually joining as well. Rock's charisma and charm initially disguised his abusive and erratic behaviour. None of the other members dared to question him or hold him accountable for the physical, mental and emotional damage he was causing.
Oh, bless their hearts. They need to question him.
Right. I'm going to get into a few things that does describe physical and mental abuse of adults and children eventually as well. So just to let you guys know, I'm not going to go into it too much, but just as like a little trigger warning.
All right.
Rock's punishments for those who disobeyed him were cruel and unusual. He would fucking weirdo. He would like hide behind trees and stuff and spy on his followers. And when he figured out something because he was spying on them, he would then like hold a meeting and say, God revealed that this person did this and this is a sin. And
oh, what a creep.
Ah, yes. So he used that and his power to administer punishments such as hitting them with belts or hammers.
Oh my God.
A hammer?
A fucking hammer.
Bit much.
I'd rather a belt than a fucking hammer.
Bet you would, you naughty girl.
Yeah. Whoops, please. So, suspending them from the ceiling.
What?
Yeah. The further I go into the list, the weirder it gets.
How's he suspending them?
Like attaching them with their hands and then just pulling them up to the ceiling.
Okay, it's not like skin hook or anything.
No, it's like, but still, if you're hanging from your arms, you get tired and
it's not nice.
It's painful, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, it's not nice.
plucking their body hair or even defecating on them.
Oh, no. Oh, come on. Yeah. Stop it now.
So it's like, I'm pretty sure God won't be down for that. Any of that.
Shitting on someone's like a power play, isn't it, though?
Yeah, well, absolutely. He's a scat man. The Anthill Kids supported themselves by selling baked goods, and members who failed to generate enough revenue were punished as well.
Well, by being shat on or whacked with a hammer.
Yeah, so if you don't sell enough cakes, you're literally beaten for this.
And shat on.
Yeah. And plucked.
And plucked.
Oh, imagine being plucked and then shat on and then hung from the ceiling.
I mean, the plucking, it hurts, but...
Yeah, but it is weird.
I'd prefer to be plucked.
I don't know what they're plucking now. They're plucking their eyebrows off, because if someone plucks, like, one by one your eyebrow hairs until you have no hair, that's horrific.
I'd still prefer plucking.
I don't know if I would.
I'd rather not be there. I'd rather just be at home and not be in a cult. Yeah. As time passed, Rock's punishments grew more extreme and violent. Even more. So escalating to the point where he demanded that members break their own legs with sledgehammers, sit on lit stoves, shoot each other in the shoulders, and eat dead mice and feces.
Oh my fucking God. That sounds like Kathy Bates out of Misery when she does the whole sledgehammer thing to the guy's ankles.
Yeah, I thought of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. This man is a nightmare. Just like, it's horrific. And it's just how it shows the power they had over people for people to not be like, actually, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
Bye. So in a display of loyalty, a follower was once asked to cut off another follower's toes with wire cutters.
Jesus Christ, no. My toes just curled and not in a good way.
Another trigger warning. This is about kids next. So the abuse extended to the cult's children, who were sexually abused, held over fires, or nailed to trees while other children threw stones at
nailed
them.
Nailed to trees? Fuck.
This man
nailed
is
to trees.
Not okay.
Mental. Tragically, one of Rock's own wives was so traumatised that she left a newborn child, so Eleazar Lavelli was the name of the child, left her outside in the freezing temperatures to die to keep the baby away from the abuse. She'd prefer the baby to die from exposure than be nailed to a tree.
Oh my God.
Because I think he also used the kids to punish the parents.
Yeah.
As well.
Oh, he's a sick fucker. I hope he gets what's coming to him.
Mm. Right. So despite his obvious deviant behaviour, because also there was drugs and everything in the cult that were kind of swimming around, so that was also a big no-no. Rock attempted to backtrack to the original religious mission of the commune, insisting on purifying his followers and ridding them of their sins. Through abusive purification sessions, the members would be completely nude while Rock whipped and beat them, so beat the sins out of them. He even claimed to be a holy being and started performing very unnecessary amateur surgical operations on the sick members to demonstrate his healing powers. These, quote, surgeries included injecting a 94% ethanol solution into stomachs or performing circumcisions on the children and adults of the group.
Oh my God.
In 1987, social workers removed 17 of the children from the commune. However, Rock faced no repercussions for his abusive acts.
Why not?
I don't know whether that was because, I think I got into it a bit later, but something to do with it being a religious movement, that there's certain things that they couldn't hold him accountable for because they were minors. But anyway, most of the kids were taken away and were saved. In 1989, when follower Solange Boila complained of an upset stomach, Rock performed another amateur surgery on her without anaesthesia. He laid her naked on a table and punched her in the stomach, then forced a plastic tube into her rectum to perform a crude enema with molasses, so with treacle and olive oil.
Jesus. That's...
Yes.
That's not going to... What? Treacle?
No, nothing makes sense. Treacle and olive oil.
Into her arsehole?
Onto her, yeah, as an enema. So, fuck knows what you thought that was going to do.
Sticky.
Oh, yeah, sticky, oily. Ugh. He cut open her abdomen with a knife and ripped out part of her intestines with his bare hands. He also made another member, Gabrielle Lavelli, stitch her up using a needle and thread, and had another woman shove a tube down her throat and blow through it as like a makeshift breathing tube.
Oh my God!
Obviously, Solange didn't survive. She died the next day from the damage inflicted by the procedures.
That poor girl.
And then Rock goes one step further, claiming to have the power of resurrection. Oh, this is horrible. Mega trigger warning again. He made a hole in her skull with a drill and then ejaculated into the hole and made all the other male members do the same.
What the fuck?
And when, obviously, that didn't bring her back to life.
Yeah, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah. I bet he was really surprised that that didn't work. Her corpse was buried a short distance from the commune. Ugh. So Gabrielle Levallée, the one that he forced to sew Solange back up after he'd gone and ripped part of her intestine out, she was kind of punished for this because it was her fault that she died. So Gabrielle underwent harsh treatment, well, really from the beginning of the 80s onwards. While she was there, she suffered torch burns to her genitals, just randomly pricking her with a needle. And at one point, he put a needle in her back and it broke off.
Oh.
8 of her teeth were forcibly removed.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. She also attempted to escape from the commune after Rock had cut off part of her breast and smashed her head with a blunt side of an axe. She got caught and brought back. And upon her return, he removed one of her fingers with wire cutters and pinned her hand to a wooden table with a hunting knife and then cut off her arm.
What is wrong with him?
Yeah. Luckily, she would survive.
Do you know, this week I was like, it can't be worse than last week. It can't. But it is.
I thought the worst cults out there was like Jonestown. You know, the ones that we all kind of know.
I can't believe I've never heard of this.
No, I've never heard of this one.
This is insane.
Insane. So in 1989, Rock was finally arrested for assault after Gabrielle fled the commune again and managed to contact authorities.
So she survived getting her arm cut off?
Yeah. Between the 1980s and 1989, she was gradually tortured by him on and off. Then, yeah, when he cut off her arm and when she was able to, she escaped the commune and went to the police. This effectively dissolved the cult overnight. The authorities had long suspected the cult to be really bad news because of the way that they were living and everything. But because the commune was officially registered as a church, officials were legally unable to investigate the adults and could not do much except ensure the welfare of the children, which is why they went and got all the children out.
Wow.
Rock was found guilty of assault and for the amputation of Gabrielle Lavelle's arm, and received a sentence of 12 years imprisonment.
Just 12 years.
That's not enough.
No.
What about all the rape and the kiddie abuse and stuff?
I don't think they cared about rape and kiddie abuse too much, but I'm not finished with his sentence, and I'll get to a bit more in a minute. So the vast majority of the cult's followers abandoned Rock after his arrest. In 1993... Rock pleaded guilty to second-degree murder for the death of Solange Boillard and was sentenced to life imprisonment. In 2000, he was transferred to Dorchester Penitentiary, a medium-security prison. And then in 2002, he was rejected for parole because he was considered too high a risk
Yeah, good.
And that he was going to reoffend, and he could even possibly start a new cult all over again. And he never applied for parole again.
Good.
On the 26th of February 2011, at the age of 63, Rock was found dead near his cell at Dorchester Penitentiary. His death was because one of his cellmates, a man called Matthew Gerard MacDonald, a 60-year-old convicted murderer from Port-au-Prince, Newfoundland and Labrador. So they're places, and I just thought they were dog breeds, but no, they're places.
Yeah.
He was charged with the killing. MacDonald had already pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to life in prison, but he was already serving a life sentence for a previous murder charge. And apparently what happened was Matthew MacDonald stabbed Rock in the neck with a shiv, then mooched over to the guard station, handed them the weapon and said, "That piece of shit is down on the range. Here's the knife. I've sliced him up."
Nice.
That was the end of Rock Thériault, the horrible, horrible cult leader of the Ant Hill Kids. So I'm really glad that he was sliced with a shiv.
Yeah, I'm not sad about that either.
I didn't really have much information about the other cult members, but Gabrielle, the one whose arm had been cut off, was in the documentary that I got a lot of information from, and she was like super, super brave, awesome person. But the story that she has to tell was just horrific. You know, it was one of those that you were so scared that you didn't say anything, so you knew that you could just be murdered. So that's how he kind of controlled everyone, and that's why no one left before. So yeah, that's the horrible cult story of the Ant Hill Kids.
Awful.
Thanks,
Bex. I'd never heard of that at all. Cults fascinate me because it's always, it's really like, how do people get so brainwashed to accept this? That was horrendous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it sounded like people tried to escape quite a few times. I mean, Gabrielle did it more than once. But I suppose if you're up a mountain, you kind of have to be prepared to go back down it. You can't just...
Yeah.
You're not just mooching up the road. It really surprised me. I hadn't heard of that one before.
No, well, thanks. I hadn't. Really enjoyed it, I think.
It was interesting, right, but horrible.
Yeah, that's it. Interesting. It was really interesting. Anyway, after that, shall we throw in a little trailer?
Yes. Go.
April Fools.
Is it possible to truly be scared to death? To death? To death?
April Fools.
Deadly amounts of adrenaline. Of adrenaline. Of adrenaline. Of adrenaline.
April Fools.
Dope, hand feel. Hand feel.
Rogue transmissions. April Fools. Stories about fear, hoaxes, insanity, existential dread, and death. Featuring a selection of the finest indie podcasts, including October Pod, Brew Crime, Spine Chillers and Serial Killers, Mission Spooky, Freaky AF, and Reverie True Crime, coming to the podcast you're listening to right now. On Thursday, March 30th, 2023. Is it possible to be scared to death?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You want some ghost stories?
I think we're going to need it.
A ghost story.
And it's really weird, actually, because there is, as you will see, a little coincidence in our two stories.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, you'll see when we get there. So, the Stanley Hotel, located in Estes Park, Colorado, is known for its eerie reputation and alleged paranormal activity. The hotel was built by Freeland Oscar Stanley, a wealthy businessman and inventor, and his wife Flora in 1909. The Stanley brothers, so Freeland Oscar and his twin brother Francis Edgar, were prolific inventors who held several patents in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Freeland Oscar Stanley was particularly interested in the field of photography and invented a dry photographic plate that allowed photographers to take pictures without having to develop them immediately.
What, like the first films?
Yeah, it was the beginning of Kodak.
Ooh!
Yeah, he sold that patent to a company that would later become Kodak.
History with Emma!
He also invented a spooler for winding film onto rolls, which helped to revolutionise the film industry.
Oh, I like the word spool.
Yeah, good word.
Good word.
Good word. Francis Edgar Stanley was also a skilled inventor and was particularly interested in steam-powered vehicles. Along with his brother, he built the Stanley Steamer, a steam-powered car that became popular in the early 20th century. The Stanley Steamer was known for its reliability and was used by wealthy individuals and even the police departments. Now, this kind of blew my mind because I didn't know that cars ran on steam at some point.
Why doesn't that still happen?
Like, what the fuck are we doing?
What are we doing? Well, I know why we did that. Because money. Because money. Steam, you know, water's basically almost free, whereas petrol is not.
But that literally blew my mind because apparently the Stanley Steamer is like a massive, well-known car. Never heard of it.
But didn't they have, because there was like steam trains, did you have like a little fire?
I don't know. I don't know how it worked.
Yeah, I think it probably had a fire in it. I actually don't know.
You had to get the kids to shovel coal in the back while you drove along.
They were really popular. They were very expensive, which is why most people just stuck with the...
walking.
No, the fuel cars. And they went really, really fast. Apparently they could get up to like 120 miles per hour.
Wow.
So, yeah, it just blew my mind. Steam cars. What the fuck are we doing ruining the planet when we've got steam cars?
Steam cars.
Anyway. So in addition to their inventions, the Stanley brothers were also successful businessmen who owned several companies, including the Stanley Motor Carriage Company, which manufactured the Stanley Steamer. Safe to say, the Stanley brothers were doing okay for themselves, but that was all about to change in 1903. Freeland Oscar Stanley was diagnosed with tuberculosis, which led him and his wife Flora to move to the Estes Park area of Colorado. At the time, it was believed that the dry mountain air could be beneficial for people suffering from tuberculosis, and many people moved to the area in search of a cure. The Stanleys fell in love with the area and decided to stay. And miraculously, after a few months, Freeland was cured. This leads one to believe that he was misdiagnosed because there was no actual cure.
Even now, it's hard to get rid of tuberculosis.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a cure.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And he felt better after a few months of fresh air. I think he might have been misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
But good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
They're in Colorado. They're loving it. Flora longed to be able to throw extravagant parties like they used to, but their new home wasn't big enough, and so Freeland built the Stanley Hotel. The Stanleys bought the land from a slimy character called Lord Dunraven. He sounds like a villain, doesn't he?
Yeah, I could imagine him wearing black and be like rubbing his hands together, like, I'm Lord Dunraven.
Like twiddling his moustache, like one of those really skinny moustaches.
Yeah, but he's really pointy, like a really pointy features.
He's a pointy, slimy man, yeah. So he'd used the land to build a hunting lodge. He was disliked by the community because he ran brothels and was known to come into town to hassle young ladies to come and work for him. He hunted on his land to the extent that all the elk almost became extinct. And he fished by using dynamite, which kind of defeats the object of going fishing if you're just going to throw dynamite in there.
Oh, yeah, it's a guaranteed catch, I suppose.
Yeah, but isn't fishing all about just going to chill out, relax, put your rod in the water, have a little snooze?
Snigger.
But your rod in. But do you know what I mean?
My dad said that he really likes fishing up until he catches a fish. So my dad just likes sitting by a lake reading a book.
Yeah, exactly. He had many conflicts with native tribes from surrounding areas. As you can imagine, they did not like the way he carried on.
He sounds like a bit of a dick.
He's a massive dick. Finding himself in financial difficulties and seeing the Stanleys building a hotel as a way to boost his other businesses, he agreed to sell to Freeland. So F.O. Stanley was the opposite to Lord Dunraven and seemed to be very kind-hearted. He decided that his hotel, of course, had to be top-notch and must have heating and electricity. So to provide electricity to the hotel, F.O. Stanley built his own on-site power plant, which used a hydroelectric turbine to generate electricity.
So clean energy as well. This man's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Because he had it all sussed out. So he's generating electricity. The plant was located on the nearby Fall River and was powered by water diverted from the river. He also provided the town with free electricity. He reintroduced elk to the area and repopulated the lakes with fish, undoing all of Lord Dunraven's misdeeds.
Yeah.
So F.O. and Flora Stanley sold the Stanley Hotel in 1926 after running it for over 17 years. Since then, it's passed between several new owners and now belongs to the Grand Heritage Hotel Group, a company that specialises in historic hotels and resorts.
That's nice.
It is nice. The hotel stands in this majestic valley with beautiful views as it's only 5 miles to the Rocky Mountains and overlooks Lake Estes. It has 140 rooms and was built in a colonial style on spiritual Native American land. Its foundations are made from limestone and quartz. So, as we have seen in the past, limestone and quartz plus Native American ground with a nearby water source. What do we think's coming next?
We are asking for trouble.
Ha ha! Ghost!
Yeah.
Ha! I won.
The Stanley Hotel is full to the brim of ghosts. In fact, it has been called the Disneyland for ghosts.
Oh, it's made it sound fun.
And this week, I'm going to tell you about a few of them.
Okay.
We'll start with room 217. In 1911, there was a huge storm and the electricity had been blown out. Luckily, the hotel had gas set up as a backup. Somehow, however, possibly due to a leak, room 217 filled with gas. So when the housekeeper, Mrs. Wilson, entered the room with her candle, there was a huge explosion that destroyed not only room 217, but also the two rooms above it. It knocked Mrs. Wilson off her feet and she fell down to the first floor. Amazingly, though, she survived. She only broke both of her ankles. I mean, I say only. It sucks that she broke.
Yeah. Yeah, but compared to, like, being...
dead.
Exploded to death. Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Stanley, being the stand-up chap that he was, paid for all her hospital bills, gave her a promotion, and saw that her three children all received good educations. Mrs. Wilson stayed on as head housekeeper for many years after the incident. In fact, she became somewhat of a legend at the hotel and was known as a hard-working and dedicated employee who was beloved by guests and staff alike. Mrs. Wilson continued to work at the Stanley Hotel until her retirement in the 1950s. Perhaps her dedication and love for the building is why her spirit decided to come back after her death and carry on with her duties. People staying in room 217 report having their luggage unpacked and their things tidied away. They say they see shadows walking through the walls. It's been said that Mrs. Wilson does not really approve of unmarried couples sharing a bed.
Oh, cheeky.
Judgmental cow.
Mrs. Wilson's nice, but it goes with her time, doesn't it? I mean, if she was around 30s, 40s, 50s... it was kind of frowned upon.
Yeah.
Aww.
When she disapproves of an unmarried couple, she's been known to create a wedge in the bed between the couples.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
Hilarious.
And some have even woken up to the gentleman's bags being packed and ready for him at the door, as if showing that until he puts a ring on it, he's not welcome to share the bedroom with his lady friend.
Mate, that's jokes. What a funny little ghost.
Yeah, adorable. Room 217 also has another very famous story attached to it, and this is where the coincidence is, because we were talking about Misery and Kathy Bates and that horrendous ankle scene, yeah?
Yep.
Stephen King, the renowned horror author, stayed there in September of 1974. They arrived the day before the hotel closed for the season. At this point, it was still a seasonal hotel. It's not anymore. And so they were the only ones in the hotel. Stephen King is said to have fallen in love with the building as he walked through the empty, endless corridors and was told about some of the ghosts by the bartender as he sat alone at the bar. Now, if this seems familiar, you might be onto something, because he went to bed that night and had a bad dream. This dream was about his son being chased by a fire hose down the corridors of the hotel.
Yeah, it sounded a little bit like a movie we kind of all know.
When he awoke, he was drenched in sweat and realising it was just a bad dream and that his son was perfectly safe, he went to smoke a cigarette on the balcony. By the end of his smoke, he had the entire book, The Shining, planned out in his head.
When you were describing the hotel, though, it kind of made me, it made me think of The Shining.
Yeah, same.
So there you go. The Stanley Hotel is the inspiration for the terrifying book and film, The Shining. Stephen King himself was a struggling author and had problems with alcohol, much like the main character.
Yeah.
All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's Johnny.
Yeah, exactly. Although the Stanley inspired the book, that's not where Stanley Kubrick's movie was filmed. However, the film Dumb and Dumber had some scenes shot at the hotel, and Jim Carrey stayed in room 217. He lasted 3 hours before running out of the hotel and refusing to go back. To this day, he's never spoken about what went on inside to scare him so much.
Mm.
So see, we both had Stephen King references.
You did.
Did I? What did I say?
Kathy Bates, Misery.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. It was at least half an hour ago that I said that. So I've swum around my fishbowl since then.
Oh, Tasha's going to like this next ghost.
Oh.
See, a cowboy.
Room 428 is home to the unknown spirit of a cowboy.
Oh, well, Larry, really?
Not a bullfighter then.
No.
Not a matador, a cowboy. He's a gentleman, and when couples in the room have asked him to leave, that's exactly what he's done.
Go on.
Tasha will be like, come back.
He generally is known to just sit in the corner of the room or pace at the bottom of the bed. He must have been a bit of a ladies' man, though, as several women have reported him coming to the side of the bed and kissing them on the forehead.
Oh, that's so nice. I mean, I'm forgetting that he's a ghost, but...
Yeah.
So lovely.
And also, you know, consent. Probably. You know.
It's a little forehead kiss.
Yeah. Well, he's a ghost, so what are you going to do?
I mean, you can ask him to leave. He listens. He does leave.
Yeah. He sounds like a stand-up guy.
Room 401 is home to a less pleasant ghost.
Ooh, Lord... I don't like less pleasant. Lord who?
Lord Dunraven.
Oh! For some reason, I thought you were going to say Lord Farquaad. So.
Yeah, same. That's literally
every time you say Lord, I'm like, Farquaad? That's what I kind of think he looks like a pointy Farquaad.
During his life, he liked visiting the fourth floor, as this is a floor where the children would stay with their nannies.
Oh! Weird. Pervert.
Yeah. So, the nannies being young women, he would accost them and try to get them to come and work in his brothels.
Oh, well, that's nice. Kind of the better of the two than what I thought he was going to the children's quarters
what?
For.
Hold on, what? Being a pimp?
No.
I'd rather he's a pimp than a pedo, but...
Yeah, he shouldn't have been there. What was he waltzing around for?
Well, looking for prostitutes.
Yes, he was looking for workers. And it seems that in the afterlife, he has decided to return and still be as creepy and sleazy as he was when he was alive. People have seen him stood in the wardrobe, which is horrendous.
Right.
Yes.
You open your wardrobe and you're face to face with Lord Dunraven's ghost.
Ugh. Nice. I imagine he'd be someone that'd say my pretty a lot. He'd be like, oh, come to my brothel, my pretty.
Oh, do you remember that ghost sex one? Pretty little tits.
So nice.
Oh, that was horrible. Pretty little titties.
Ugh. He steals ladies' jewellery, although it does tend to show back up again in a different spot. And women have reported feeling heavy breathing down their necks and hands around their waist, which is gross.
Ew.
Room 418 is said to be filled with ghost children who like to move objects around and pull covers off guests while they sleep.
Oh.
Yeah, not nice. One child reported a little boy tickling her once she was asleep. She asked him to stop and he did leave.
See, I think when people attack you in bed, or not attack, because they didn't attack, but like pulling the covers off is kind of like, it crosses a line. Like you can haunt the room and stuff. And usually like in horror films, people get up and then something happens. But when you're like in bed, leave me when I'm in bed. Let me feel safe.
That's the force field, the quilt.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that's the foreskin. That's the foreskin keeping you safe, Becky. The foreskin will protect.
Duck yourself in into the dick sleeping bag.
Yeah, let me just roll up into my foreskin. Oh, warm but moist. Let's move on.
Yeah. The whole fourth floor is generally haunted by children, and many guests have complained at the reception, saying that there are kids running around the hallways keeping them awake. Only there isn't. And some have gotten so annoyed that they've gotten up to go and tell the kids off, only to open the door and to see no one is there. Of course, Mr. and Mrs. Stanley have both been spotted at the hotel. Mr. Stanley's ghost has helped lost children find their parents, and he's often seen walking across the main lobby. And at closing time in the bar area, he can be seen leaning against the wall, arms crossed, watching the staff do their duties.
Oh, I like this. It's kind of a wholesome story, apart from Lord Wankstein.
Mrs. Stanley is said to haunt the concert hall, which to this day still holds her grand piano. People hear her playing it well into the night. She seems to have a rose scent that follows her. She's been seen looking out of the concert room's windows, waiting for new guests to arrive. She's also been seen on the staircase, which is known as the Vortex, as it has so many spirits appear there. And they've actually been caught on camera. Right, I've sent you a photo that somebody took of a mirror.
Oh, I don't like mirrors.
Oh, yeah. It's really clear as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That's mad.
They probably look like grandparent, like, just like, they don't look threatening.
No, it's not a scary photo. I'll send you one of the Vortex, which is the staircase. They caught somebody on the staircase.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Gosh, and there's loads of people there too, isn't there?
Yeah, and apparently when that photo was taken, nobody reacted at all. Like, nobody saw it.
That's kind of look what my migraine auras look like.
Well, that's creepy, Becky.
Oh, dear.
I will post all these photos to the Facebook page and Twitter, if you're lucky.
I'm happy with how, like what Tash said, how clear they are.
Yeah, I was impressed by the quality of the pic.
Yeah.
There is another ghost that seems to like the concert hall, and his name is Paul. Now, Paul died in 2005 of a heart attack, but he used to work there, and one of his duties was to enforce the 11 p.m. curfew for the guests. People have heard him asking them to get out or shout, hey, at them, as well as feeling like they're being gently pushed or nudged towards the door. Paul doesn't just stick to the concert hall, though. He's known to wander throughout the hotel, just keeping an eye on things like he always did. In a strange coincidence, the hotel also has a pet cemetery on the grounds. Now, whether Stephen King knew about the pet cemetery at the time and that also gave him a bit of inspiration, I don't know, but it's a bit of a coincidence.
Uh-huh.
So this pet cemetery was where the owners or the staff buried their pets. So also, Mr. and Mrs. Stanley were like super cool with their staff. Like, yeah, come live at the hotel, bring your pet. Very chill bosses.
Yeah, they sound it.
Yeah.
Two in particular are often seen. Cassie, the golden retriever, and Comanche, the fluffy white cat, aww, still wander around the property and have both been seen and heard. Another grey cat with glowing eyes lives in the underground tunnel system that the hotel employees use to get around. It's not a known pet cemetery pet, but nonetheless, he's still there, doing ghost cat stuff. He's not alone down there either. There seems to be a spirit that smells like baked pastries. Nobody knows who this might be, but people in the tunnels, probably running away from the ghost cat, have said to smell food whilst being down there without any explanation. In the Pinion Billiard Room, there's a spirit only known as the Torso Man.
Ooh.
I know. As when his apparition appears, it's just his head and torso floating about. No one knows who he is or why he's there, but he doesn't seem malevolent. And I've got a photo of him as well. Hang on, I'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit weird. A floating head.
Head and shoulders.
Knees and toes.
And that's just the thing with this hotel. Although it's packed full of spirits, many more than the few I've just spoken about, no one really knows why they are drawn to this place. It hasn't known any true tragedies. Although, like most hotels, of course, people sadly pass away in their rooms for one reason or another. But no more than any other hotel. Which brings us back to the very land on which it's built. Is the hotel a beacon for the spirit world? Do ghosts arrive with guests and think, hey, I like it here, I'm staying around? Who knows? But whether you believe in ghosts or not, there's no denying that the Stanley Hotel has a special place in the hearts of many people. Its stunning location, combined with its rich history and elegant architecture, make it a truly unique and memorable destination. And there you go, the Stanley Hotel.
Thanks, oh, I loved him. It. Yeah. I loved the Stanley Hotel.
That's one that I think I would go to.
It's not scary, is it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't feel scary.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think, yeah, if we were going to go somewhere, this one sounds quite nice.
Although I wouldn't go in the room where Lord Dunraven is.
No, I wouldn't go and see him. I wouldn't want him to breathe on me. I hate that.
Yeah.
Maybe the cowboy. I don't know.
I'd go in there.
All pack in there together and just wait for the cowboy. Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I thought it was really interesting because of the Stephen King link, because The Shining is one of my absolute... I know The Shining, the film, isn't exactly like the book, but the film is one of my absolute favourite horror films.
Yeah, it's a classic, isn't it?
It's an absolute masterpiece. It's really psychological.
Yeah, it is.
Nothing actually terrifying happens. I mean, there's a few scenes that are a bit scary, but it's the build-up and it's the music. And it's intense and stressy and it's a very, very good film. And yeah, and Stephen King is an absolute genius. Can you imagine coming up with the plot for that story, the time it took him to smoke a cigarette?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely genius. So anyway, yeah, there you go. I'm done.
Thanks, Em.
You're welcome. So, Tash, I think, is it you for the horror? I hope it's you for the horror song because I don't have one.
Well, I've got one, so it's me now. The sun begins to fade. I still have time, but not much. How will I stop this sadness? Up until now, I've managed, but I know that's about to end. As the night draws in, my loneliness calls. All I wanted was someone to hold me, someone to love me. I've had that before. I've been in love and lost my senses. Now I'm driving through the town. Sooner or later, this will end. I will end it. I will get to the end of the road. I see the bridge up ahead. I just want to dance with somebody. But now I dance alone.
Ooh.
Ooh. I think I know what it is.
I mean, it's quite an easy one, to be fair.
Well, well done. Thanks, Tash. Thanks for not making me cry. Didn't make me cry.
You know, I'm not very good at these, to be honest. I really struggle doing them.
No, you're fine. What are you on about?
Just feel like I forget what I'm meant to be doing. And I just find it really hard, like, all the songs I seem to pick are really depressing already.
Yeah. Well, most songs are, really.
Yeah, well, you know, good luck, guys. If you think you know the answer to that song, you can send us a message on all of our platforms. You can contact me over on Instagram, which is SCSK_podcast. That's also the same for our TikTok and our Twitter.
Yep. Or you can talk to me if you want on Facebook, which is just under Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. And you can find the podcast on YouTube, again, just Spine Chillers and Serial Killers. We've been slacking a bit on TikTok, girls. We need to get back on the whole TikTok thing.
Yeah.
We do.
TikTok's very time consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I keep thinking I need to do one, but I keep forgetting. So yeah, I need to. I'll try and do one. I know what I'm going to do next, so I might as well do it.
Yeah, just do it. And what if people want to talk to you, Becky? Where can they find you?
Well, yeah, if you want to just, talk to me or send us some love or some suggestions if there's a case that you want to hear about or a haunting or anything like that. If you could send us an email to chillers.killers.pod@gmail.com. Bloop, bloop. That's a noise.
That was Becky. That was definitely Becky.
Email noise.
If you did enjoy this episode, which we really, really hope you did, could you please leave us a little review or a rating on whichever podcast app you're listening on? That would be absolutely wonderful. And we would love you forever for it.
We would.
We definitely would.
We definitely would. Forever and ever.
Okay, guys, stay safe.
Don't kill people.
And keep it weird.
Bye. Bye.
Do 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 do.
I'm Peppa Pig.
Fucking hell. Peppa Pig possessed.
Bless you, darling.
That was a cough.
Cough you.
Yeah, but I can say bless you for a cough.
Can yeah, I you can. You can bless me all you want.
I just bless you again.
Fuck knows I need it.
And the cunt... The cunt.
The cunt.
Sorry, I have to beep that out. The cult...
Beep.
Beep.